Just asked me to read a few verses for him before he comes up. So we'll start in Leviticus chapter 13, verse 45. The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." Now we'll move to Psalm chapter 32, verse 1 to 5. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer, Selah. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin, Selah. Now we'll move to the New Testament, to Mark chapter 1, and verse 39 to 42. And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. We'll move to the next chapter, chapter 2, verse 1 to 12. And when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." We move to chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. Again he entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come here." And he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at the hardness of their hearts, and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. Now we'll move to Romans for two verses in chapter 10. So chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord and believe it in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved.
Thank you, Morgan. I'd like to welcome each one here this morning. Thank you for coming. And if you were listening, you would I've understood in the Gospel of Mark, Morgan spoke of three separate little miracles, three little stories, three little things that happened to three different individuals and how they were healed physically, but more importantly, they were healed spiritually. And so this morning, we want to look at those things, but I want to really kind of zero in on what is God's salvation. And I think oftentimes, in a crowd this size, there's probably some that are not saved. And I wonder really how much, maybe you've been under the sound of, heard the gospel many times, but I really wonder how much of it you understand. How much do you actually understand about the forgiveness of God, the pardon, the pardoning hand of God, what God does when He saves someone? And I'm going to speak boldly this morning because I'm speaking on the authority of the Word of God. And that's the only reason I can speak boldly. Not aggressively, but I can speak firmly on the foundation of this book. And so, if nothing else, take away that it is the Word of God, it is God-breathed. And these stories are actually dealing with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ when He walked on earth. A very simple outline. The first thing I want to talk about is the filthiness of sin. I want to talk about the forgiveness of sin. Is it necessary to be forgiven? What is forgiveness? And thirdly, we want to talk about getting free from the power of sin. And maybe you say this morning, I'm as free as I can be. I have nothing, nothing affects me. But I want to tell you this morning, if you are not saved this morning, you are not free. You are a slave to sin. We'll talk about that in a few moments. So the first story Morgan read for us this morning was concerning this leper. And to have leprosy, it's an awful disease. It's a disease that basically eats away at your flesh. It was a horrible disease, and we read in Leviticus that the individuals that had leprosy in that day were thrown out of the city. They had to be separated because it was very contagious, and they'd have to, if anyone were to approach them, they would have to yell out, "Unclean, unclean." They were cast out of society. I want to tell you this morning, sin has the same effect on people. It will end in tragedy. Sin will end you in a place called hell. Because God says, where sin is, I cannot be. The sin of leprosy. You know, there's a police officer that stopped someone on the side of the road one time, and that individual was speeding. And so he walks up to the car door, and the gentleman that was speeding right away says, well, you know what, I was only 5 kilometers over, and there's many that go faster, and there's lots of other criminal activity out there. He says, why would you stop me? And the police officer's response to that individual is, he says, you know what? We stop individuals one at a time. And maybe you here this morning think that sin isn't such a big deal. But it is. It is an offense to a holy God. And maybe you say that the grotesque sin, the sins of murder and genocides that have happened in countries where dictators and rapes and pillages and all those things are the worst of sins, and I have never done things like that. But I want to tell you this morning, on the authority of the Word of God, one sin on your account will land you in hell. Sin is serious. So serious that it led the Son of God to go to a place called Calvary to pay for your sins and for mine. Sin is serious. Sin is very, very serious. So this leper who said, unclean, unclean, and he approaches the Lord Jesus. And there was a great miracle that happened. And it says that the Lord Jesus stretched forth his hand. You know what? If you want to be saved here this morning, God has taken the initiative to save you. And he stretched forth his hand to this leper, and the leper was made whole. It was instantaneous. And so it is with salvation. You can be saved in an instant of time, free from your sin, and on your way to heaven. We preach the gospel in hopes to make people aware of their sin. It's not my job, it's the Spirit of God, but we present to you this morning that sin is serious. It is on your account, so to speak. And if you were to pass through the doors of death with sin on your account, you cannot be in God's heaven. The psalmist would say, these things hast thou done, and I kept silent. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one of thyself. But I will reprove thee, and I will set them in order before thine eyes. God keeps accounts. He knows you better than you know yourself. Every small misdemeanor, every small lie, everything that falls short of God's perfect standard, he's got a ledger, so to speak, and it's all marked down. And every sin from the time that you were born until this very present day is marked. And there's a coming day, a day of judgment, if you do not get saved, that those sins, God will set them before you. You see, you can't blame God this morning that you're not saved. He is more than willing to save you. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And that leper was clean, and he was cured instantaneously. The forgiveness of sin. How important is it to be forgiven? How important is it to be forgiven? Do you need forgiveness in order to be in heaven? What is forgiveness? It's a complete removal of the cause of offense. It's a complete removal of all your offenses before a thrice holy God. Think about it. Everything, all the things that are going to be in a coming day set before you, they will be gone. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. You know the key part of that verse is power on earth. If you think that this is all there's going to be, is just your existence from the time you were born until the time you die, then I would say very clearly you do not need forgiveness of sins. But we are not creatures of just time. We were made in the image of God. We were made eternal beings. Thus, you need forgiveness. In Hebrews it says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins, and their iniquities I will remember no more. There's no statement here this morning, if you're not saved, that is more important than that. There is power on earth to forgive sins, and it's in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one that can offer pardon, cleansing. It says, those of us that have trusted him, he's removed our iniquities from us as far as the east is from the west, to be remembered no more. You know what? God has a never-ending memory. He will remember your sins if they are not pardoned, if they are not forgiven. The accounts will be there. But we have an opportunity here this morning to tell you that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, hath power on earth to forgive sins. Are you forgiven? It's divine forgiveness. It's forgiveness that will last forever. In what condition did this man come? This one that was sick, that was paralyzed. I want you to use your imagination this morning. So the story is told. There's four men, and they have this paralyzed man in a kind of a canopy, and he's resting there. He has no movement. We don't know any more than that he was paralyzed. And there was a great movement. The Lord Jesus was going through this city, and he was healing people. And so these four men, I'm assuming were great friends of this paralyzed man, wanted to get him in the presence of the one who could heal him. And so they're in this, the Lord Jesus decides to go into this house. And so the crowds flock to this house, so much so that there's no room in the house. The door is shut, even so much that the door can't even be opened because it's just crowded. And so these four men with their buddy who's paralyzed in this canopy, so to speak, wonder, how are we going to get him in the presence of this one who can give him feeling, who can make him rise and walk out of this paralyzed state? So they devise a plan, and they say, you know what, there's a roof, and maybe if we, somehow we can get onto the roof, we'll knock it down and we'll lower him, and surely to goodness we can get him in the presence of the Savior, the one who can heal them. My question to you here this morning, how desperate are you for the forgiveness of sins? You can't be nonchalant. You can't just say, well, I might take it. Maybe it's a good idea. Maybe someday I'll take it. You need to be desperate. You need to be desperate in order to be saved. And so they kicked the ceiling out. And I see there's plaster falling everywhere. And all of a sudden, everything goes still in the house. And they see this one being lowered. And you know what the Lord does? He doesn't heal him from his paralyzed state. He says, my son, your sins are forgiven. I ask you again, how desperate are you this morning to have your sins forgiven? There's people in this auditorium that would desperately like to see you be saved. I think of these four men. I picture them as some, maybe they were Christian. Maybe they knew the power of forgiveness. And they thought, you know what? I just want to get my friend exposed. I want to get him in the presence of the Lord Jesus, the one who can heal him. He was desperate. And salvation was available to that man that day. His sins were forgiven. And the Lord Jesus on top of that said, son, take up thy bed and walk. And he walked out of that house with the feeling in his limbs. And he walked, probably never walked before. How did the man know his sins were forgiven? There would be a good question. Some one that said he could heal, the scribes and Pharisees said that he was not of God, so he must have been of Satan, they said. How would this man know that his sins were forgiven? I want to tell you this morning, on the authority of this book, your sins can be forgiven. That man did not clean up his act. Whatever his life history was, he was paralyzed. I want to tell you how you can know. Because God said it. You trust Jesus Christ this morning. You put your faith and trust in what he did to forgive you your sins when he went to that place called Calvary. If you rest in that, on the authority of God's word, your sins will be forgiven. It's not cleaning up your act that saves. I want to tell you from personal experience, I tried that. I was under the conviction of sin literally for years, and I used to smoke. And you know what I'd do? I'd buy a full pack of cigarettes, and I'd say, you know what? I know this is wrong. I know it's a sin. I know there's many other things that are wrong in my life, but I know this is wrong, and I'd throw it out the window, a full pack, and I'm Dutch, and that cost me lots of money. You know what I'd do the next day? I'd buy another pack. You're not free this morning. You're a slave to sin. You can't shut it down. I couldn't shut my sin down. I couldn't shut my lifestyle down. I had no power to do it. Thank God there was one on earth who could forgive me my sins, who has the power to change you. And he changed me. And I am changed because of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am changed because of the power of the forgiveness of sins. How about you this morning? Sin is serious. It will land you in hell. That's what sin will do. It will land you in a place called hell. And you will burn for all eternity there. Because God has set them in array and he keeps an account. But the truth of the gospel is you can be free. You can be free from your sin this morning. Through the sacrificial blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just knowing about it. It's resting in it. It's trusting in it. It's believing that I'm a sinner. And it's an offense to a holy God. And I want to be clean. I want to be saved. I don't want to go to that place called hell. You know what? Sin will never enter hell. Or sin will never enter heaven. That's why there is a plan of salvation, so that sin could be averted. It could be taken care of. And we could stand before a God who loves us and has cleansed us from all our sin. The last story we read this morning was a man with a withered hand. And of course, the men of the day, the religious people of the day, the scribes and Pharisees, because it was the Sabbath day, said, oh, let's see what he's going to do. Will he heal this man on the Sabbath? Of course, they wanted to stumble him because that day was holy. They were not to do anything. And the Lord challenges them. He says, is it wrong to do good or is it to do evil on the Sabbath? And he was testing them. But here he had this man that had a withered hand. And you know what? I picture the hand being not very pleasant to look at. I look at this withered hand, and I see no feeling. And because there has been no movement in that hand, it's not very appealing to look at. And maybe this gentleman would walk around with that particular hand in his pocket so people wouldn't see him. Because you know what? It wasn't nice to look at. Neither is sin. But the Lord does something miraculous. He says, put forth. First he says, stand up. Maybe that's what you need to do this morning. I'm not asking you to stand here in this auditorium, but you need to be recognized by God who is calling you. Don't hide under the umbrella of anything else. And he told this man to stand forth. And so this individual, I'm picturing in a large crowd, stands up, maybe his hand still tucked in his pocket because he was embarrassed. Maybe you're embarrassed because there's some sin in your life none of us know about. But you know what? God knows. God knows you better than you know yourself. He knows everything about you. And so I see this individual standing up in a crowd, and maybe everyone starts looking at him. And he's got that hand tucked into his pocket. He's embarrassed. He knows it's withered. The Lord knows it's withered. And then the Lord asks him to do this. He says, put forth thy hand. Not only did he ask him to stand, now he's asking him to put it in front of everyone. And so the man puts his hand forth. Maybe it's limp. I don't know. But I'm guessing it wasn't an easy thing for this man to do. But what did he do? He obeyed. He showed faith in the one who was commanding him to do so. His hand was healed. That's how it happens. September 10th, 1988, in a washroom, as I was troubled by my sin, as I did not know where to turn, I knew I was a sinner. I knew I had no hope. I was told it my whole life that I was on my way to hell. And I knew it for many years, and I was not saved. And finally, in a moment of time, I gave up. I said, you know what? If I die, if I don't get salvation today, I will go to hell. And you know what happened? I got it. I understood I was a sinner. I put forth my hand, so to speak, in surrender. And I said, God, save me or I perish. And boom, in an instant of time, I was saved for not just for this old world in time, but I was saved for eternity. And I am promised a place in heaven where there is no sin with the one who bore my sin, the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in flesh. He saved me. You know what? Don't put off this most important thing called salvation. What does a crowd say to you? Weren't you saved when you were 4? Maybe you were. I don't know. Maybe someone else, maybe your friends are saying, you know what? You're not, you really don't need that. You're doing a lot of good. You're a pretty good person. You really don't need that. Whatever they're telling you at the Charlottetown Bible Chapel, you really don't need that. You don't have a problem. You're okay. Just like the rest of us are okay. We do good things. Don't listen. The crowd will pull you down. Be singled out this morning. Maybe God, for the first time in your life, is singling you out this morning. You know who you are. Maybe someone in the balcony. I don't know. You know who you are. If God is speaking to you, put forth your hand. Just put it forth as ugly and confess and as transparent as you can be. Put it forth. The man that was lowered into that house, a paralyzed man, he wasn't looking too good either, was he? The man with the leprosy, he had a skin-eating disease. It was basically eating his flesh in open wounds. Sin will land you in hell. And it's not a pretty picture, but there's a pardoning God. There's a God who wants to save you more than you want to be saved. He's done everything in his power to save you. He's gone as far as getting beat by men, naked, and he had a crown of thorns put on his brow, yet he had not sacrificed himself for sin yet. That's just what men did to him. And then God, the Father, basically turned the lights out on planet Earth for 3 hours, and he punished and he laid all your sin upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that transaction, God was satisfied. And he rose from the dead. The one who died, the one who made payment for sin is alive. And that's the guarantee that I have this morning. that I will be with him. Because God the Father was satisfied with the sacrifice for sin, my sin. I wouldn't want to tell you the sins that I've committed. All I can tell you this morning is, I'm forgiven. I am forgiven. From all my conduct from the past, for every present conduct in the future, I am forgiven. I am pardoned. Are you pardoned this morning? I don't know what else to tell you other than run to the Savior, flee to Him. He is the only one who can save you. And you need to be saved. You need the forgiveness of sins. And since that time, I have the power to turn away from sin. I am not perfect. Christians know that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. He knows our hearts. Is He your Savior this morning? The fact of the matter is, this offer of salvation is time limited. Because we're creatures of time. It's time limited. The Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. You don't know your time. We have all health problems. Go look in your bulletin. There's elderly people here that will not be here this time next year, maybe. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. See, salvation is time limited. The day of salvation is today. Repent and believe. It's going to take a few moments. We have a baptism that's going to happen here. And I want to explain, I'm assuming